This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Financial Standard podcast. My name is Eliza Bavin, and I'm a senior journalist here at Financial Standard. The Australian share market didn't disappoint in 2024, but it didn't over-deliver either. And with some major macro events occurring in 2025, like Donald Trump retaking the US presidency and the upcoming Australian election, as well as the ongoing war in Ukraine and China's diminishing growth, there is some uncertainty about what we might expect going forward. So to speak more about the potential headwinds and tailwinds facing Aussie investors in 2025, I'm pleased to welcome Tribeca Investment Partners Lead Portfolio Manager, Junbei Liu. Junbei, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So we saw a fairly strong performance in 2024 from sectors like information technology, real estate, and financials. Is this a trend you think might continue this year, or are there other sectors that investors should be keeping an eye on?
I do think that this year we might see the sector leadership, other sectors that do a bit better than some of those names. The main reason being that these two sectors have done incredibly well relative to everything else. Now, we think 2025 is going to be a year where we will see, throughout the year, a pickup in economic activity, really provided that with the rate cut environment, we think the rate cut is going to take place in Australia in February. That should ignite some of the activity across consumer and then some of the cyclical type of sectors. And hence, then it will lead to some of those companies, which has reached pretty cheap valuations, to do better than your technology companies and your financials. Having said that, though, we do think financials, there's been a lot of people calling, the collapse of the bank's share prices because they, quite frankly, for CBA, Commonwealth Bank, one of the largest stock, done so well in the last 12 months, it's very difficult to call to see continue to perform, outperform. But we do think that the health of those financials, those banks, is not too bad. We don't think the earnings will collapse. I think our economy is holding up fine. There is some softness, but with the rate cut, it should offset some of those softness. Things should pick up towards the end of the year. So we see the bank shares to probably more in line with last year than sort of a collapse. Whereas everything else, everything else, the companies that, for example, facing consumer, some of the more, manufacturing businesses, some of the cyclical names, they will do better, including property trust. Some of the subsectors of property trust might do better than some of the winners from 2024.
Well, I mean, you kind of touched on there the optimism over the falling interest rate environment, which is expected in 2025. But there is still some uncertainty about when the interest rate cutting cycle might happen and also by how much. So how much do you anticipate that this will impact markets? Like, do you think it will be meaningful in 2025?
Yeah, look, I think the expectations for interest rate cut is going to be a big driver of volatility of the share market, particularly at this stage. We are seeing a bit of divergence between what's happening in the US and what's happening here in Australia. And, 2024 was really marked by US started cutting interest rate, whereas Australia inflation was still escalating. And so that gets pushed out in terms of our rate cut. But now heading into 2025, certainly look like the US inflationary environment and the outlook is actually in the worst position compared to where we are. Worse as in, economic activity, job employment is incredibly strong in the US. In fact, it has picked up again. And at the same time, with the Trump presidency, there's a lot of expectations with very inflationary type of policies coming through. So all of that is going to put pressure on where their rate might get cut. At the moment, it's expectations too in the US, but that's been reducing, in the recent weeks. So we think that's actually going a different direction, whereas Australia, we have finally seen a little bit of relief of our stubborn inflation. Still taking a bit too long, but certainly look like it's heading into the right band. It's very close to the band that RBA is comfortable with, and we think the cut is coming in February. So, but that's absolutely going to be the core focus for the market, for in near term.
So, yeah, I mean, we saw sectors like supermarkets, materials, utilities, energy lagging last year. And I mean, things like the big supermarkets and, as you mentioned, consumer goods, those were really impacted by inflation. So hopefully as that continues to slow this year, do you think that some of these sectors might see better returns?
Yeah, look, I think it's, you have to segregate them one by one. I think for the supermarket, you know, they certainly, one of them, Woolworth in particular, certainly has underperformed enormously, particularly against its peer, Coles. Normally they perform very similarly. It's partly because of inflation and also, slowdown in consumer activity. People are really cutting back on what they're spending on given so much inflation, people being trading down. So that is certainly now halted to a snail pace in terms of consumer spending in the supermarkets even. But I think more importantly, there was a lot of specific, sort of news flow with Woolworth. Its CEO changes. Right now you have the government review into the pricing practices. So I think the sector itself is still going to be quite challenged, especially you have regulation against you, you have competition sort of against you, and then you've got the weak consumer. It might take some time to come through once the rate cut, and then from when rate cut take place and when consumer responds. So I think that sector is still going to be hard. One of them, though, one of the company within that, Metcash, is actually looks a bit more interesting given its exposure to the home renovation, the trade, in terms of housing activity, potentially latter part of the year, we might see a pickup with the cut. But look, that sector is very hard. We do think, though, consumer discretionary sector is actually much more leveraged to a cut in the interest rate, because consumer is quite sensitive at the moment to to whether it's discount, whether it's to cost of living pressure. So with that improving outlook on that front, I think this consumer discretionary will be the bigger beneficiary. Particularly, quite a few of them have already called out so far in January that some of the trading condition isn't fantastic because discount was too high. Just shows a price sensitive consumer. So I do think some of those, this area is where you see a lot of upside.
Are there any other opportunities that can be found in perhaps like undervalued sectors?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you asked me this question, I was thinking, oh, there are so many. There's we'll go through different sectors. So look, if we talk about the listed real estate sector, within that, we see opportunities within some of the discounted segment of it, which is commercial property, for example. But of course, it's company by company. Commercial property in certainly in New South Wales, in Sydney, capital city, has bottomed. We've seen a positive net absorption coming through in Sydney market. Melbourne's still looking very tough. So, for property trust that has leverage to that kind of exposure, generally looks, looks interesting, and they're very cheap relative to their other property trust peers, if you like. So, we're thinking the name Dexus looks very interesting whilst the office is still struggling, but I think, there's enough value in there. I think, we also like, other areas. So put aside the retail that we just spoke about, we like some of the more resi sort of space, residential, constructions and the like. We know we're going through a very soft patch. Again, this is a value end that you're looking at. We're going through soft patch, housing prices falling, activity hasn't yet to pick up. But we think there's opportunities in terms of longer dated sort of underdevelopment within the Australian market, housing market. These companies will be well leveraged. In fact, we actually saw one company just upgraded. So there are pockets of strength that we can see. And in 6 month time with the rate cut, again, this business, this sector will be very well leveraged.
And I just want to take a bit of a broader outlook. I mean, obviously China is a significant trade partner with Australia, particularly with the miners and things like that. So I'm wondering, with China's economic outlook kind of being less than positive, if China's recovery remains weak, what kind of impact could that have on Australian equities?
Yeah, look, I think Australian, if you look at the performance across different sectors in 2024, a weak China has certainly impacted our resources companies. They're quite a big part of our index. In fact, it's one of the reasons why our share market hasn't done as well as a lot of offshore competing markets. So resource company has been one of the worst performing. We actually have our big diversified miners trading at a pretty good discount and very strong, very high dividend yield. You know, so we certainly think a weak China is going to impact that sector. However, having said that, China has been weak for quite some time. And in the last 6 months, or last three, more so 3 months, we're seeing increasingly more signal from their government about more stimulus. So it's almost, it certainly seems that they reach a point, they're constantly stimulating to get to the growth target that they need to get to. So 2025, the government in China has made it very clear they need to get to their growth rate that they target. So, you know, we are seeing more and more bigger and bigger packages coming through. And I'm confident that we're certainly seeing a little bit of, at least getting less bad, you know, a little bit of green shoot coming through in terms of China economy. So, you know, from here on, if things getting less bad, we are already actually should start seeing commodity prices become more supported. In fact, we're already seeing some of the, you know, iron ore prices started moving. The share price, the equity, for example, BHP and Rio hasn't really moved as much as the actual iron ore prices because investors are skeptical. But I think that skepticism is changing now. We're seeing the delta is that more and more people putting more money into the resources sector, particularly the larger names. So we think actually this sector has a lot of opportunities. It is a little bit more China oriented, so it will be volatile, you know, move with the China data. But we do think that the data is getting better from here on.
And I would be remiss not to mention the Trump 2.0 presidency. He's talking about things, trade tensions, increased tariffs. Is this anything that Australian investors need to be concerned about or factor in to their decision making this year?
Look, I think it's important to watch what policy he might say, because he does create a lot of volatility for the market here, because he's a policy, whether, you know, they eventuate into the final execution of it, certainly the headline policy will drive markets. Now, right now, I think it's very important for investors to keep abreast of what he's been talking about. So right now, there's been a lot of discussion about the protectionism. So he wants to put up tariff, actually this time, not just on China, it's on the rest of the world. And, obviously, he's, knowing his style, he certainly seems he just want to drive better bargain for his citizen and with different economies. Certainly headline like that is going to drive companies that's particularly involved with the trade, with the trade or moving goods from one country into America. We have quite a lot of companies already being impacted, a few years ago when he first put up tariff out of China. And now we're seeing an increasing amount of companies moving things out of China, production out of China into different areas. In a way, it's actually been, created a lot of spare capacity for Australian products, for Australians. So, Australian companies going to China, we're actually getting a lot of spare capacity. So it actually being a bit of a benefit for us. But, we do have a few companies that are involved in the wholesale building things in China and moving to America has been stuck in that kind of tariff increase. Now, many companies have moved into other markets, for example, Mexico and others, trying to diversify their manufacturing base. But the problem is now that he's talking about with Mexico and a few other countries. So it's going to be a challenging environment for corporates as well as share market. So we've got to watch it closely. But I think what we need to do is focus on what really gets implemented rather than that fear, of what he might or might not do.
Yeah, and I mean, also Trump has been a pretty gung-ho on technology companies in the US. And because information technology in Australia, that sector performed really well in 2024, do you think there'd be a flow-on effect from Trump perhaps being very positive about the sector in the US? Do you think that could flow on to information technology stocks here? Or do you think there's a bit too much separation between policy?
Oh, no, it definitely will flow through to Australia. Our market is very much priced off, relative peers. So our technology company will trade on. So if they trade on similar sort of sector, well, our investors will always use US as a benchmark. So if they go higher, we go higher. it tend to be the benchmark. But having said that, our technology company tend to trade at a premium to the US companies, believe it or not. Just simply because growth is very hard to come by here in Australia. So our growth sector, now it's bigger, but still a very small piece of the overall Australian market. So, you know, for investors wanting exposure to, you know, quality growth companies, there's actually very few limited choices. So they tend to be more expensive. And then, you know, obviously they're going global. So, we'll definitely follow where US is going, but it just simply means our technology company could get more expensive.
Could get more expensive. They're already so expensive.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's the thing. A few years ago, we didn't think we could get there, but now here we go.
Here we go. Well, look, that's all the time that we have for today. Jim Bailey, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to speak about what I think about the market.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.